Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching, focusing on being salt and light in the world, was recorded at our Summer Family Bible Conference and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Well, again, let me just say thanks for everybody last night. That was a total shock to me, total surprise. I had no clue. You know, it's amazing how they could go to all of this effort and do all of these things, and I never have a clue. But if you knew me, it's really not that strange. I'm pretty much clueless. It's true. I'm focused on what I do, and I just don't think about anything else. I could literally forget Jamie's name when I'm up here ministering. I am so focused on what I'm doing, I can forget anything. I've come to meetings before, and I've had things going on in my life that I wonder, how in the world can I minister? And yet, I just get focused. I get tunnel vision. I am absolutely, completely focused on what I'm doing, and I forget everything else. And as a result, it's hard for me to just switch back and forth between ministry and business. You know, I've got good people around me that run our ministry, but, you know, I still have to make decisions and do administrative things sometimes, and it's just hard. I either have to be in my administration mode or in my ministry mode, but I can't just go back and forth, because when I'm in ministry, I am just absolutely focused 100% on what I'm doing, and I can't think of something else. And so they snuck up on me. I never saw it coming, but it was a blessing. Appreciate everybody being a part of that. Let's turn back over to Matthew chapter 5. I just want to reread these verses. We're going to go on from here this morning, but I've been talking this week about God said that we are salt and light in the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto them that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so I've been talking about that we have a responsibility to salt and light expose this world. And we are the light of God. And if we don't do it, there is no other plan. There isn't a plan B or C. And so therefore, we've got a responsibility to reach out and to make a difference. Not only, you know, collectively as the body of believers and stuff, but I mean in your individual world, there are people that are responding to you that you have influence over that I'll never reach, that a pastor of a church will never reach. Every one of us needs to get this idea that you are salt and that you are light, and you've got to start salting and giving light in the situation and in the world that you live in. And that's what I've been talking about. Let's turn over to 1 John and let me share some scriptures with you. And this is going to be kind of a hard word. It's going to shock somebody. And what one of the things it's going to accomplish this morning, if you receive what I'm talking about, that this is going to put a true Christian, a committed Christian, in a direct opposition to this ungodly world that we live in. And you know what? There's a lot of Christians that don't see that conflict. They don't see the enmity between the world and the kingdom of God. But in the Bible, if you study the Bible, it's just very clear that we are in a spiritual battle. We're in a warfare. That there are people that are standing for light and for good things, and there are evil. And there is evil in this world, and there is a clear distinction between it. And I think that Christians live way too much over in this embracing all of the secular things and the ungodly things that are being promoted and going on, and they don't see this conflict. I think this is part of what we need to do as Christians, is to establish some of these things. And so it may be a strong word, but I believe it'll be a good word for you. Over in 1 John chapter 2, the background of this is, of course, John was the oldest apostle, as far as we know from history. He's the only apostle that wasn't martyred. But he lived to be 100 or 102 years old, somewhere around there. He was actually boiled in oil and lived through it. They couldn't kill him, so they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. And that's where he had his vision and wrote the book of Revelation. But John is the only apostle that died a natural death, according to the history that we have. And the apostle John wrote the Gospel of John later than the other three Gospels. And that's the reason that, you know, the Gospel of John, if you've ever compared it, it doesn't have but just about four or five instances in it that are common to the other Gospels. It's nearly unique, and it focuses more on the teaching of Jesus. You have, for instance, the entire teaching from John 14, 15, and 16, the night before Jesus was crucified. And he goes into things that none of the other gospel writers reveal. He goes into the expose about, you know, that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. And John is more of a doctrinal book than the others are. Although the others certainly have a lot of doctrine in it, it's more of a chronological thing of the life. But the book of John just has a few instances in it, but it goes into great detail, and it really amplifies the fact that Jesus was God in the flesh. And the reason for this, based on, you know, things that I've read and studied, is that towards the end of the first century, that there were already people coming into the church who were proclaiming that Jesus didn't actually exist in a physical form. He was a spiritual being. And it was just like an angel manifesting, but there was no substance to his physical body. Therefore, the crucifixion wasn't real. It was just kind of like a vision that God did all of these things in symbolism, and that he wasn't really raised from the dead, and that there wasn't a resurrection of anybody from the dead. There were people preaching this in the first century, and so they were called the Gnostics. And John was attacking this, and so the book of John is very specific. In the first book of John, it says in the first few verses that this is exactly the reason he's written this, is to show you that that which we have touched, which we have felt, which our hands have handled of the word of life. And so this is a theme of all of the writings of John. He really hammers the fact that Jesus was God come to this earth in a physical human body. And John emphasizes this more than you see in any of the other writings of the New Testament. So this is a part of what he's saying here in 1 John. And in verse 18, this is 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. He says, "Little children, it is the last time." Now just think about this. If this was written in around 90 or whatever it was, A.D., and if it was the last time then, we must be in the last of the last times. Amen. Because it was the last time then. The Apostle Peter says that in the last days it shall come to pass that he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. So the day of Pentecost was the last days. If those were the last days 2,000 years ago, then I can guarantee you we are in the last days. Somebody says, "So do you believe that Jesus is coming in our lifetime?" I don't know, but you know, I used to prophesy and say that they said that the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport was going to be completed in 1973, and I used to laugh and say, "Who's going to be here? We'll be gone long before 1973. You know, since that didn't come to pass, I quit prophesying when Jesus... I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but somebody says, "Show you, you think it's the last generation?" It's my last generation. Amen. It's your last generation. I'm living like he's coming in my lifetime. I'm living like this is all we've got, because this is all I've got. I'm not counting on the next people doing anything, man. I'm trying to get everything done I can do. But John says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." John says in his day, back before 100 A.D., there were many Antichrist. Many. And it says this is how you know it's the last days. So one of the greatest signs, you very seldom hear people talk about this, but one of the greatest signs that we're living in the end days is if there's Antichrist. That's what he's saying. In verse 19 he says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." That's old English for saying, this is why people leave the body of Christ, is because they aren't truly born again. They're Antichrist. And you can tell it by their actions. They can't stay with people who are true people of faith. They depart and separate themselves. In verse 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Man, that is a powerful scripture. I use that a lot. And that's something that a lot of people don't really appreciate. But in your spirit, it's absolutely true. Verse 21. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. You know, that's so obvious. You'd think somebody shouldn't have to expound on this. But it's amazing today how people get up and lie through their teeth, and people come up with ways of justifying and getting around it, and, well, you got to understand the context and stuff. It's just black and white. If it's a lie, it's not of the truth. God doesn't lie. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, I believe it is, that when you speak a lie, you are speaking of your father, the devil, because he is the author, the father of all lies. When a person lies, you are being controlled by the devil. Well, that's a strong statement. Scripture says that a godly man will swear to his own hurt and change not. Again, these are some of the things that I believe that we need to be salt and light about, because there aren't absolutes and there is an integrity even in the body of Christ. There are people today that will bend the truth and spread half-truths and just say half things. And they'll say, well, it depends on what the definition of is. And they just shade things. And I guarantee you, it's just wrong. It's wrong. When you are speaking a lie, you are being controlled by the devil. Does this mean that God hates you? No. Does it mean that God's going to punish you or reject you? No. He operates in your life by grace. But who in the world wants to submit yourself to the devil? He only comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. You need to speak the truth. When somebody comes up and says, so how do you like my outfit? And you hate it. You know what? You ought to tell them the truth. Now, there's a tactful way to do that. And I may not be the best example. But you know what? If you come up to me and say, well, what do you think of this hairdo? And if I hate it, I'm gonna say something. I'll say, like, man, I can't believe you spent hours fixing your hair that way. Mine looks that way when I wake up.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to make a difference by being salt and light in the world. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado. It's available in an 8-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM230 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.